Welcome to Federal Insights for June, Operational Resiliency Month, sponsored by Veritas.
Congress has been no less challenged by the pandemic than federal agencies. Proxy voting, online hearings, difficulties dealing with constituents. The chair and vice chair of the Select Committee on the Modernization of Congress have been on the case, though, exploring best practices, even thinking about best how to reopen federal offices. Joining me now, Washington Democrat Derek Kilmer. Mr. Kilmer, good to have you on.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
And Georgia Republican Tom Graves. Representative Graves, good to have you on.
Great to be back. Thanks for having us.
And let's start with Congress itself. We've heard so many stories about should there be a quorum, should there not be a quorum, and the proxy voting. How would you rate the operation of the House, anyhow, during this really tough time for members and the staff? Representative Kilmer, why don't we start with you?
I think there's a few different things at play. One, each member in their districts is really active right now and has been through the course of this pandemic, in part because there's a lot of holes in the dam. And I think most members of Congress and their staffs are trying to use every finger and every toe to plug those holes. Some of that is just doing really active casework with local businesses or, there's members of Congress, myself included, who've become, procurement professionals when it comes to personal protective equipment and testing capacity. So there's a lot of active work happening in our districts. And some of it's also just making sure that as resources have been passed by Congress, things like the Paycheck Protection Program, obviously these tools in the toolbox are only helpful if your constituents know about them. So I think most members have been also really active in that regard. You know, and then Congress as a body, obviously this is a really important time for both legislating to happen and for oversight to occur. And I would say that it probably varies by committee. Tom Graves and I are both on the Appropriations Committee, and both of us have been active on phone calls with administration officials and in regular discussions through the appropriations process. I think you've seen other committees begin to have virtual hearings or virtual discussions, with an eye towards figuring out how do we keep moving the ball forward on behalf of the American people, even in the midst of a pandemic and social distancing and all of those limitations.
And Representative Graves, how tied in are field office technologies with the main Washington technologies in the House and in the House office buildings? And what are some of the difficulties you think members are having on that end, especially at the local offices dealing with constituents and everything from flag requests to desires to be heard in person?
Yeah, that's a great question. And this has been a remarkable 90 days of adjustment and adaptation, I would say, by all members in different capacities and different offices and different districts, how to manage some of the challenges that the chairman referenced. And, we've seen in the district offices that every office has managed it a little bit different. Some have moved to more of a total virtual element or a hybrid of that, where staff can come in, one or two staff per day and sort of rotate through that to maybe oftentimes not any staff throughout the week. They're able to work remotely. But that didn't come without some challenges in the beginning of connectivity back to all the files and the data and the resources that there would be normal access to through secure networks, let's say. And, so making sure there are enough laptops available for staff to take to their own personal residence, but then also to be tied in securely back into the House network was an early challenge that I think was overcome by most offices. But one unique challenge that we've noticed in a lot of the district offices is the inability to have Wi-Fi. Everything has to be directly connected Ethernet-wise, and not being able to have a Wi-Fi, so to speak, that can be picked up on with a laptop or other. And so staff have been having to, get a little creative with that. Do they use hotspots off their phones, their official phones or their personal phones, or jump off a Wi-Fi somewhere else, and which creates other challenges. But I would say overall, everyone adjusted as well as they could and as quickly as they could. And I think have been able to meet the challenges that have faced everyone.
We're speaking with Georgia Republican Tom Graves and Washington Democrat Derek Kilmer. They are the vice chair and chairman of the Select Committee on the Modernization of Congress. And let's talk about the sessions, where I guess it's become a political issue, and I don't really want to get into that aspect of it, but so many other organizations operate remotely through different types of collaboration applications. Should Congress have to meet in person? What's the thinking on that? And is there some kind of a hybrid approach that would satisfy everybody? Representative Kilmer?
Well, I think you're starting to see that. So our committee, the Select Committee on the Modernization of Congress, even in the midst of this pandemic, has had 4 virtual sessions. We've brought in expert speakers to do things like discuss best practices for virtual work and to talk about how district offices and the legislative branch can improve their continuity procedures to protect against the next crisis. And we've discussed how Congress can continue to build its technology capacity, which is obviously, to Tom Graves' point, pretty germane right now. And then we just this last week had a discussion related to staffing and how Congress as an institution can recruit, retain, and have a more diverse staff. And those conversations have been great dialogues in the midst of social distancing and some of the limitations by Congress. They have had to happen virtually. I think you're seeing, when Congress is back in session, either that hybrid approach or, you know, a committee like ours might meet in a larger room that we might otherwise meet in. But, you know, there's certainly an openness to continuing discussion. I think the most important thing is the work of Congress needs to continue. And if it needs to continue using new technologies, that's the way it'll happen. If it can happen in person in a safe way, it'll happen in person in a safe way. But the work needs to happen, particularly on a committee like ours, where we have an expiration date. We've got to get in a final set of recommendations before the year is out. And so our work can't wait.
And Representative Graves, would you say perhaps Congress could meet in person to have that quorum, but maybe the Washington Hilton Ballroom, which can seat a couple of thousand, crowded, 435, could probably do pretty far apart.
Yeah, probably so. I think we've demonstrated we can meet a quorum. And I would probably characterize this as sort of unique. It's almost like going through the various stages of grief in the beginning. There was a lot of denial, you know, a resistance that we've slowly moved to an understanding and an acceptance of the way we can do things in a different way and still arrive at similar outcomes and be more efficient about it. But one of the early challenges probably was that the fact that the Senate was in session and has been quite a bit, and the House is not, and that created this unusual angst. And just to be honest, I think members just felt a desire to be there, to work, to represent, to try to fix a problem that is just a huge challenge for our country. So you have all these different pushing and pulling occurring that creates this tension that I think, as the chairman's reference, has started to squeeze out some new concepts, some new ideas at the way that we can begin working together in an efficient capacity, but with not the ultimate goal to replace personal relationships or personal engagement and conversation, but to provide a bridge to that over time. So it's been just really an interesting phase to watch, but I think in the end it'll produce a better, more efficient Congress that, in our hope as a committee, will better serve the American people.
Georgia Republican Tom Graves is vice chair of the Select Committee on the Modernization of Congress, and Washington Democrat Derek Kilmer is the chair of that Select Committee. We'll continue with the interview after this short break. I'm Tom Temin.
In today's era of more digital business, agencies combat malicious intent, data complexity, and other unknowns that could compromise your agency's operational resiliency. Mitigating these risks is paramount. With Veritas, agencies gain a dedicated partner to help ensure your organization's operational resilience with the most versatile and extensible platform on the market. Because in this era of more, no one addresses more scope, scale, and IT diversity than Veritas. Visit veritas.com/resiliency for additional information.
We're speaking with Georgia Republican Tom Graves and Washington Democrat Derek Kilmer. They are the vice chair and chairman of the Select Committee on the Modernization of Congress. Now, the federal agencies are starting to open again their business, their buildings, that is, the executive branch agencies. And it seems to be something they're kind of doing on their own and without a lot of coordination necessarily from one agency to the other, and each according to what it sees as its best schedule and practices. Do you sense that Congress is going to maybe step in a little bit more than what we've heard so far and try to get some order imposed on this whole gigantic issue, which does vary a lot from state to state? Representative Kilmer?
Well, certainly the discussion in Congress is about opening and opening safely. That applies both with regard to the actions of the executive branch, but also with regard to how Congress does its business. So again, you're seeing virtual committee action happen, I think with a lot of consultation with public health professionals, looking at having Congress get back. And listen, reopen may just look different, right? Right now, and certainly until there's a vaccine, I think it's unlikely you're going to see 435 members of Congress and a whole bunch of staff packed in together on the House floor. You know, the new normal may be the staggered voting that you've seen, people wearing masks, people hand sanitizing. And listen, there are other things that have come up in our discussions as a committee about what continuity looks like. So, you know, for example, a lot of members, myself included, do a lot of town halls. Well, you know, you can't really do that right now and get your constituents all packed into a place together. So you've seen a lot of members moving to telephone town halls. And one of the things that came up in one of our committee's virtual discussions is, should the House be bulk purchasing those teletown hall subscriptions so that we can get a better deal and do a better job of communicating with our constituents, even during a time of emergency? You've seen the executive branch implement some innovations during the pandemic where Congress could also take action. So, for example, the requirement for wet signatures. Obviously, when members of Congress are dispersed all over the country, that's pretty tough. And so looking at accelerating the use of digital signatures is something that Congress so far has not really taken advantage of, and I think is something that will require a look and may likely see a recommendation from our committee.
Yes, and Representative Graves, that's an issue for some, not just members of Congress, but also for some of the agencies, such as Social Security. They have a couple of lawsuits right now because of their policy against wet signature, or requiring wet signatures, rather, and some people that are disabled or blind, added in with the COVID-19 threat, feel like they need to get some kind of a digital capacity in place. So that's something, sounds like it's high on the agenda.
Yes, I think you're right. I mean, every agency and probably every committee and both bodies in Congress are evaluating what are all the new technologies that are available to keep the process moving back to that continuity. And when you have continuity planning and implementation, it generally is only temporary, but it could lead to long-term reforms or changes that make things better and more efficient as you move forward. What I have found really positive through this experience, when you're looking for the positives, is that I feel like as a member, I've been more connected than I had been in the past. And that's through the use of technology, whether it's through the conference calling or the video conferencing, all the various groups, and whether it's in your district or nationally or with your own caucus or with the administration or agency heads, you feel connected. I felt like I've been a lot more connected to information and access to information because I could be in more places within a given day. In fact, last week, I believe I was in two different committee hearings at the same time, which is something we've grappled with in the past in person, but I was able to do it digitally. However, the one lack I've noticed is the ability to engage in bipartisan relationships or conversations through the use of same technology. So I think we, as two parties, and maybe even as two bodies, have are using things to its fullest and are better access to better information, but we're in our own silos. When we begin bridging those silos or connecting them, I think then we will see some great advantages to the use of the technology.
And I've got a practical question. I was trying to read the CARES Act and tried to read an act that hasn't passed the Senate, the HEROES Act. These are really long, and I was hoping finally, maybe they'll have clickable and linked PDFs where in the table of contents, it'll take you to that section. But no, you guys are still with the big old PDFs that really take some fortitude to read. How are we coming on just better processes for the paper of Congress?
Well, actually, one of our early recommendations was looking at making information more available to the American people. We have a recommendation related to a system that would allow people to track legislation, to track amendments, to look at the impact of legislation on current law to see what's being changed. Because, you know, not just for most Americans, heck, for most members of Congress, when you look at legislation, it can read like, you know, hieroglyphics. It can be really confusing. And, you know, part of the role of our committee is to have Congress not just function better, but for it to function better on behalf of the American people. So we have a recommendation in that regard. We've also have recommendations regarding sort of one-click access to agencies and programs that have expired and need congressional attention, one-click access to see how members of Congress have voted, not just on the House floor, but also in a committee. Making it easier to know who's lobbying Congress and what they're lobbying for. And so all of this is with an eye towards just opening up and making more transparent the legislative process.
And Representative Graves?
The chairman outlined a lot of the great recommendations early that have already been, you know, been through the House and are moving through the process of, I guess, implementation. But you bring up a good point, and that is technology is there. We see it in the corporate world and even in the educational side with our educational institutions, the ability to connect and to find access to information very quickly. And this committee has worked towards that in a great way. And hopefully, I know given there have been some delays, but hopefully implementation will come in the near term. But I will say all of our work has really been for the next Congress. And I know that there's been a lot of focus on this committee and the work we've been doing and the expectation, I hope that it like impacts right now. And but our plan and the agenda that the chairman has set out has been very robust and bold, but it's all about moving forward in the future. What are the changes that can make the House of Representatives work better for the American people? And so I think you'll probably see most of those significant changes occur within the next Congress and beyond.
Georgia Republican Tom Graves is vice chair of the Select Committee on the Modernization of Congress. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you for having us again, Tom.
And Washington Democrat Derek Kilmer is the chair of that Select Committee. Thank you also.
You bet. Thanks again.
To hear this interview in its entirety or download it or share it, visit federalnewsnetwork.com and click on Insights. I'm Tom Temin.
In today's era of more digital business, agencies combat malicious intent, data complexity, and other unknowns that could compromise your agency's operational resiliency. Mitigating these risks is paramount. With Veritas, agencies gain a dedicated partner to help ensure your organization's operational resilience with the most versatile and extensible platform on the market. Because in this era of more, no one addresses more scope, scale, and IT diversity than Veritas. Visit veritas.com/resiliency for additional information.
What a year to be director of the Congressional Budget Office. No one imagined what would soon strike the country. The pandemic caused Congress to think big, and that resulted in an extraordinary workload for the teleworking CBO. Here with more from the inside, CBO Director Phil Swagel. Mr. Swagel, good to have you on.
Yeah, Tom, thanks very much. It's a pleasure.
I'm trying to get my mind around an extra couple of $1 trillion in spending, which the government didn't really have. Let's say it printed it. And tell us, what did you have to do what did Congress ask of you as it was pondering the CARES Act and some of the other bills?
CBO has been working hard to support the Congress, and that's what we do. We support the members of Congress as they formulate policy and then turn their ideas into legislation. And we do that at all stages. So first, while members of Congress were considering what to do, we provided technical support. And so we have incredible analysts, you know, working on all the different pieces of the legislation. So, for example, the unemployment insurance, where the various bills have changed the benefits, increased the benefits temporarily, and widened the scope of unemployment insurance. We have a fantastic UI analyst who was working with the congressional staff to help them understand, you know, how their legislative language translated into action. So that's at the development of the legislation. And then, of course, once the legislation is in language, you know, in statutory language, then we do a cost estimate. And we've done a number of those, both for the four bills that have been enacted, and then the HEROES bill, which has been passed by the House. And of course, as the Senate acts, we will provide support for the Senate as well.
And what did you determine those four bills through the CARES Act actually did cost?
Oh, well, that, as you said, that's in the multiple trillions. We are putting out a document, I hope, by the end of this week, that will go through all of them and tally them all up together. The details of each bill arranged by area. So someone who wants to say, you know, looking across all the legislation, what was done with unemployment insurance, for example, that document will show that. And so it'll be, of course, multiple trillions of dollars.
Sure. And CBO also does a lot of what I would call econometric modeling in some of the reports that you release throughout the year. And they're really great argument enders, because when people say, well, this is going to happen, that I say, well, go look at the CBO numbers and then come back so we can agree on the facts here. And did you do any of that kind of modeling, the long-term effects on the economy of this kind of couple of trillion dollar injection, which could be inflationary because it's printed money, or it could be what?
So we do that analysis. We've done some of that along the way. And now, you know, the major legislation has been enacted. And of course, there could be more, but with the major legislation enacted, we are taking a step back to do this broader analysis, to look at the effects of what's been passed on the economy. And then, of course, that will have a feedback to the federal budget, which ultimately is our focus. So we've done some of that, and some of that has been incorporated in for example, letters that we've sent. I sent a letter to Speaker Pelosi. I sent one to Senate Minority Leader Schumer and the ranking member of the Budget Committee, Bernie Sanders. Another one to Senator Grassley, the chair of the Finance Committee. So these are various letters on the questions that they ask, and our analysis is embedded in there. And as you said, we have more to come. Can I just add one more thing?
Sure.
In a sense, we're conventional wisdom, and that is in the positive, good sense of conventional wisdom. We are trying to use the research literature and look at the best evidence and the most updated evidence, but we're trying to be in the middle of the distribution of possible outcomes, you know, for any economic impact, recognizing that, of course, there's uncertainty, and especially today, given the pandemic, there's especially considerable uncertainty. But that's what we're trying to do in our research, is be in the middle of the distribution of possibilities.
Phil Swagel is director of the Congressional Budget Office. Thanks so much.
Tom, thank you. It's a pleasure.
To hear this interview in its entirety, or download it or share it, visit federalnewsnetwork.com and click on Insights. I'm Tom Temin.
Thank you for listening to Federal Insights for June, Operational Resiliency Month, sponsored by Veritas on Federal News Network.
In today's era of more digital business, agencies combat malicious intent, data complexity, and other unknowns that could compromise your agency's operational resiliency. Mitigating these risks is paramount. With Veritas, agencies gain a dedicated partner to help ensure your organization's operational resilience with the most versatile and extensible platform on the market. Because in this era of more, no one addresses more scope, scale, and IT diversity than Veritas. Visit veritas.com/resiliency for additional information.